morning. It is Saturday, November 14th. It is 7 a.m., meaning it is now time for the Doris Davenport Show. Now here she is. She's all local, all the time. Doris Davenport.
This is the Doris Davenport Show. My name is Doris Davenport. We have a new rookie on the board this morning. Hello there, Dylan. We're going to work out the kinks this morning. You're doing fine, though. How are you, Devin?
I'm doing pretty good, Doris. How you been this week?
I'm doing pretty good. Devin is training Dylan this morning, so they're doing a little tag team. I love to put them on the spot and make sure they've got it together. You know, that's part of training, is getting those unexpected tests. Well, good morning, everybody. I hope you're all doing well. This is Saturday morning. It is November 14th, and folks, it's cold outside. It is so cold. It was in the 20s this morning, but I understand that by sometime tonight, the weather's going to warm up, but it won't warm up until sometime around 10 o'clock, if you can believe that. Why wait till 10 o'clock? But it should be a beautiful day. Whether it rains or not, let's just make this a beautiful day. Folks, this is the beginning of the Weekend Talk lineup on WCPT 820. This is the home of Progressive Talk Radio. We are here at the Doris Davenport Show every Saturday morning at 7 a.m., at that time when you are waking up and just rolling over and deciding whether you really want to get up this early. And it's okay, I understand. You don't have to get up. Just stay there in the bed and let's have a conversation, okay? Devin, why don't you give the call-in number?
Number is 773-763-9278.
Thank you. And that, again, is 773-763-9278. I want to hear from you this morning. I know you've got things you want to talk about. Maybe one of those things that you want to talk about is why your president will not concede the election. Will somebody please tell me what is wrong with this man? He has lost the election. There is no hope. The election has been called. Joe Biden is president-elect of the United States of America. Kamala Harris is vice president-elect of the United States of America. So what about that is so difficult for Trump to understand? He just will not concede. And all the while, I want to talk about this man today. You know, I usually let you all do the talking about him, but I want to talk about him today because he is an absolute embarrassment. And not only is he an embarrassment, but he's just downright dirty. Just has no moral compass whatsoever. Did you hear this man actually say when he gave his speech yesterday? I guess he was just so hungry for some attention, he decided to do this press conference in the Rose Garden of all places. And he had the nerve to talk about Governor Cuomo in New York City and said that if Cuomo, basically what he was saying, is he would retaliate against him and not send him the kind of vaccine numbers that he would need for his state if he needed them. Can you imagine a president of the United States of America publicly making comments about not sending much needed vaccine to citizens of the United States in a state because he's mad at the governor? This is not kindergarten. He doesn't live in a sandbox. He's the president of the United States of America. But if that's not bad enough, he's still doubling down on these lawsuits. And you almost think, yeah, he's got Cuckoo Rudy Giuliani taking lead on this whole strategy for these lawsuits, although his campaign has been planning these strategies since long before the election, because they knew there was a possibility that he could win, whether he ever believed it or not. But it's just like now, even members of his family are talking to him, trying to convince him. It's about that time, sir. you might want to consider conceding. You might want to consider conceding so that people don't really think you're crazy. And if you really want to build a media empire and have people tune in, you might want to let them know that you're sane. And if you really do want to run again in 4 years, well, then just say so. But right now, he's been off Twitter, I understand, for about 6 days. Woo! He's really not feeling good. He's not feeling good at all. But I think he's trying to take credit for the vaccines. But you know what the problem is? The majority of Americans don't trust the vaccine. That's what the polls are saying. The polls are saying that the vaccine has been so politicized by Donald Trump before the election that people don't believe that it's really existing or safe. They think maybe there was a deal cut between Donald Trump and Pfizer. Now, I say credit goes out to Governor Cuomo because what he did was put his own team of experts together so that they could review the process, so that they could see whether they could dispel the myths of whether or not this vaccine is safe or not, so that when they tell the public that it's safe, the public will hopefully believe them and not have to worry about whether Trump is telling another tale or not. That is just unbelievable that he is willing to play with people's lives this way. These are American lives. Right now, we're facing a situation where there are more than 100,000 new confirmed United States cases every single day. For more than a week now, we've been hearing this. For more than a week, I have turned on the news and I've heard about 100,000 new confirmed cases here in the United States. Now, Trump, he's trying to leave this legacy of warp speed. I don't even know what he calls it. Rolling out the vaccine. That's what his focus is on. But know this, while he's focusing on rolling out the vaccine, which I don't think he should be focused on, I think he should be focused on letting Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have their security clearance briefings so that they can get their coronavirus team started on rolling out the vaccination. Because what's going to happen is that while Donald Trump is denying the right of the incoming president, President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris, while he's denying them the right to come in and start to get their security briefings and understand what the rollout plan is for the vaccine, they've got to know that because they're the ones that are going to implement it. Even if they start rolling out the vaccine in December, the bulk of it is not going to be rolled out until March or April. They've already said that the first distributions of the vaccine are going to be to first responders around the country and then everyone else. Well, then they have to wait until the new batches are made and stored and the rest of the country, all of the delivery sites have to be geared up. These places don't exist. And frankly, most of the places that the vaccines have to go, they're not able to receive it right now because there's a temperature that is so cold that the types of refrigeration that's required to store the vaccines don't exist in these places right now. So there is a ramp up time. And Joe Biden and his team need to know what that ramp up time is. Oh, okay. There's something else I want to talk about this morning. And that is how we say Joe Biden's name. You might wonder, do people just all of a sudden develop an accent when they talk about Joe Biden? You'll hear people say, Joe Biden. You'll hear people say, Joe Biden, Joe Biden, Joe Biden. But here's what we try to do. Joe is already a three-letter word, so it's short in saying it. But people like to, you know, tease it out. People say Joe Biden, but that means you're emphasizing Joe over Biden. And since the decision is to emphasize Biden over Joe, you have to say Joe real quick. So it's Joe Biden, Joe Biden, Joe Biden when you say it. I think that is the funniest thing as I watch the Biden people say his name. I do understand what they're doing, and I'm jumping on the bandwagon. So let's make sure that the Biden name gets out there. And, you know, it's going to be time in the next couple of weeks to start talking about what we expect from Joe Biden. I did touch on some of that stuff last week because I definitely have issues with what I want to what I want Joe Biden to focus on. First and foremost is reparations. I want the word reparations out of Joe Biden's mouth in a positive way with an executive order and pen in his hand. That's what I want. That's what I expect. I expect out of this administration a reparations plan for Black America. I don't want a reparations plan for minority America. I don't want a reparations plan for people of color. All of that is important. Don't get me wrong. But the focus on reparations is on Black America. For once in our history, we've got to focus on one group of people called Black America and do right by this group that has once again saved the Democratic Party. Saved the Democratic Party. I mean, that's why Governor Cuomo is so mad, because Trump is politicizing even the shipment of vaccines. Now, New York is doing well right now, but you know how hard hit they were early in the pandemic, and nobody knows whether those numbers will turn around. They do a good job of, you know, making people go into quarantine when they visit the states. Chicago's at that place now, too. We just had a new instruction from Mayor Lightfoot and Governor Pritzker on Friday, and that is back to those days where you can only have 10 people inside of an establishment, and the recommendation now is not to go to work if you don't have to for the next 3 weeks, because the next 3 weeks is considered to be a time when every state is going to be hard hit. You used to be able to look at the COVID map, and you would just see some states across the United States that are really have high numbers. But if you look at the map today, every single state in the entire United States is has high numbers all across the board. And I want to say that my heart goes out to so many of the families who won't have somebody sitting at Thanksgiving table this year. While your president is politicizing this entire situation, we've got people planning Thanksgiving and one, not even able to celebrate the way they want to because of COVID. And then on the other hand, not able to really celebrate the way they need to. Roosevelt from Chicago, how are you doing? I know he's there. My young rookie is getting it together. We're going to hear Roosevelt. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Doris. Thank you for taking my call. Appreciate that.
What's on your mind this morning?
I'd like to
thank you for
what you were. Go ahead.
No, thank you for calling the Doris Davenport Show. We love our regular listeners. It's just important that you support WCPT, and I certainly appreciate you for supporting the Doris Davenport Show. Tell me, what's on your mind this week after the election? Your president still thinks he's the president. He still thinks he's got four more years. What's going on?
You know what's going on? If you know, a few years ago, if you saw this in a movie, you'd say, oh, my God, it's so funny, but it ain't funny. I want to start with this. 34 states in our United States have a mask mandate. During the break, you guys, WCPT, announced that North Dakota, the governor, Republican governors are turning their back on Trump because they had to support him prior to the election. Now that he lost, that's an admission that these governors know that he lost. Republican governors such as Utah, such as North Dakota. I'm just giving you two examples of Republican-run states. So they don't need him now to be reelected. So they're turning their back. and they let this virus take over their state. Now they're concentrating. Finally, they put their people on the back burner, their constituents in their states. So that's one caveat. That's how I know Trump lost. Another reason why I know Trump lost is because the world was celebrating. There were church bells going on in France. There was fireworks in England. Every leader in the industrial world was congratulating Biden. Now, you mentioned Doris in particular, how he's politicizing the vaccine. He politicized everything. For a guy that said he was an outsider, he sure is a great politicizer, a great politician.
Right.
Now, I wanted to touch upon one thing, the reason why I called. Not only is it ridiculous that he doesn't want to admit that Biden won, but it's dangerous, very dangerous, because if you were Russia, what better way to destroy the United States but to have a spy in there, to have a person that could sell the secrets of the United States and the highest position.
So who do you think is the spy? Who do you think is the spy?
Trump, absolutely. Because here's the thing, Doris, he's destroying this country from within. He is the only president in modern history that has done this. And let's not forget, Doris, back in 2016, he himself declared himself the winner prior to reaching 270. So I got to give Biden a lot of patience, Biden and Harris, because Biden waited so that the other side, meaning the side that didn't vote for him, wouldn't get all riled up and say, hey, wait a minute. Now, even though they forgot that, and another thing, it's pretty sad, as a man, a little short woman with a pantsuit was showing him how to be a man, how to take defeat. And I'm talking about Mrs. Hillary Clinton. And she called him
up the next day. Well, Kamala Harris wears pantsuits, too. So you all are going to have to stop calling Hillary Clinton the woman with the pantsuits, because they're both wearing them.
Yeah, you're right. But that I'm pointing this out, that the guy, as a man, let me ask you something, Doris. I'm not gonna ask you what your age is. I'm 64. And in my 64 years, I've never seen a person so cowardly, at the same time so vicious, so vindictive, so childish, so immature. Mm-hmm. You know what it reminds me of? And you know what this reminds me of, this election? It reminds me of the Detroit Pistons didn't shake the hand of the Chicago Bulls. You know, it showed the youth of America. Yeah. I mean, it's not the same thing. I know I'm not doing right by saying that. But it
certainly
reminds me of that.
Yeah, it's not the same thing. But I understand. Roosevelt, you know, you always call with great insight. I appreciate you calling the Doris Davenport Show. Don't be a stranger, because we definitely want to talk with you.
I love your show, Doris.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I appreciate you for calling. This is the Doris Davenport Show, and I am your host. Dave, you hold on. I'm going to ask you to hold on through the break, if you don't mind, and you'll be my first call that I pick up. I don't want to miss you. I know sometimes you get put on hold. Not on purpose, Dave. I always like to talk to you, so just hang on with me till after the break. And we'll do some talking about the Lincoln Project and some other things. This is... I just don't know what to say. I want to take a detour for a moment. You guys might have heard about the white supremacists that killed an Ethiopian man. There's a California lawyer who there was a white supremacist. His name was Tom Metzger. And there was a California lawyer who for years made sure that Metzger made payments on a judgment for the role he played in the killing of an Ethiopian man. And this Ethiopian man was studying in the United States. And the lawyer, he didn't take any money for himself from the case because he was just so intent on doing this. This lawyer at the time was working with the Southern Poverty Law Center. to get a $12.5 million award against the white supremacist Metzger. Metzger was a one-time leader of the Ku Klux Klan, and he was linked to that 1998 murder of Mulugeta Serra, who was a 28-year-old college student clubbed over the head with a baseball bat in Portland, Oregon. There were three members of the skinhead group called East Side White Pride. They were convicted and sentenced to long prison terms. And one of the men communicated with Metzger before the attack. And the judgment against Metzger came after a 1990 trial where they played a recording of Metzger praising the killers for performing what he called their civic duty. Now, Metzger was living in San Diego, where McElroy, the California attorney, is a civil rights lawyer. And McElroy was so moved by this case that he volunteered to collect from Metzger over the next 20 years and deliver the money to the slain man's family. That's right. This man flew to Ethiopia to meet Serra's family, and he took a liking to the man's son. The man's son was only 7 years old at the time. His mom worked for a bus company. The mother at the time, she worked for this bus company and earned the equivalent of $20 a month. Can you imagine that? $20 a month. Now, McElroy, the California lawyer, asked permission to bring the boy to San Diego for a summer. He had become really good friends with the family. So this was all on the up and up. He really just wanted this kid to have a chance in life. So he asked for permission just to bring him up for a summer. And he already had a son, and they clicked. The two boys, they clicked. They learned how to surf and just, you know, become typical Southern California kid. So he got the boy into a private school in Ethiopia, and then he asked to adopt the boy, and the mother agreed because she really wanted her son to have the kinds of opportunities that the United States could offer. And McElroy talked about how he really bonded with the child and he wanted him to stay. And now McElroy and his mother communicate online. They say they're dear friends. And the boy graduated from Torrey Pines High School in San Diego, and he graduated from the University of California in Santa Barbara. Now he's in his mid-30s. Remember, the boy was only 7 years old when McElroy adopted him. He's married. He's a pilot for a major commercial airline, and he actually pursued the dream of his father by getting a U.S. education, and that's what McElroy wanted to do for him. Because it was all he could really do to bring something good out of that great and horrible tragedy of that white supremacist Metzger clubbing his father to death. Metzger had to be in prison realizing that the lawyer who was dependent on him paying for what he did had developed this relationship with his son. And they guard his privacy, so I can't say his name. I don't know his name, actually. But it's just a wonderful story. McElroy, he was the chairman of the board for the Southern Poverty Law Center. he's just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful man. And we owe him, the family owes him a great of gratitude, obviously. But we definitely owe him a debt of gratitude. And I'm so happy that we can bring stories like this. As we set up our break, this is our heartbreak. Listen, folks, I want you to call in. Tell me what's on your mind after this election. What are you going to be thinking about this week? What is on your mind? This is the Doris Davenport Show. My name is Doris Davenport. I'm your host for the day. 773-763-9278. This is WCPT 820 Talk Radio, where facts matter. We'll be back in just a moment.
Enjoying the Doris Davenport program? you're not alone. The Doris Davenport Program is quickly becoming the place for all things local. If you have a quality local business or offer a quality service, the Doris Davenport Program is tailor-made for you. We offer reasonably priced announcements available to all. To find out how we can work together for success, call 1-312-296-9709 and speak to Doris directly about attaining your goals. 1-312-296-9709.
Did you know that the Oak Park River Forest Community Foundation has a website, a Facebook page, and a Twitter feed? And they're easy to find. Search online for OPRFCF. See what's new. Find a scholarship. Donate to support local nonprofits. Join a group or just connect.
The weather's getting warmer. Time to enjoy the outdoors. Biking, hiking, sports.
Pains and sprains. I hate venturing out.
Let me give you something for that.
A Band-Aid?
The number to Dr. Victor Romano, 708-848-4662.
I'll need a body cast.
How about holistic healing?
Can you explain that?
Not as well as Dr. Victor Romano, 708-848-7662. One Erie Court, Oak Park.
Discover one of our community's unique resources, the Oak Park River Forest Community Foundation. www.oprfcf.org.
Progressive. By definition, it is a gradual progress to growth or improvement. We hear it all the time. Progressive social reform, progressive taxes. But what about progressive dental health care? This is Dr. Anna Pellick from Total Dentistry. For years, I hear people putting off things to, quote, a better time. But we all know there's no ideal time in the roller coaster of life. Your smile and dental health is extremely important to you daily. How you eat, your ability to communicate and socialize. Can you laugh without the fear of something falling out? Are you free of pain or infection? And how can you progress daily with your dental health? It starts with a call. Total Dentistry has the technology, the experts, and the caring staff to help you, whether it's implants, orthodontics, or cleaning. So take the challenge to be progressive in your dental health and call us today. Total Dentistry, 847-358-2477. And ask about our progressive membership plan called TCP. Total Dentistry, a gentle dental practice like no other.
You're listening to WCPT 820, because facts matter.
And now, let's get back to the Doris Davenport Show.
This is the Doris Davenport Show. My name is Doris Davenport, and I am your host. We are here. Oh, my music comes after. That's okay, Dylan. Go for it.
And now, back to the Doris Davenport Show.
I love it. You know, see, this is how else are they going to get trained unless we train them? So that's right. Devin, thank you so much. You're doing a great job training young Dylan there. And Dylan, don't be offended, but we're going to keep calling you a rookie till you get it right. That's just incentive.
That's fine. I understand that. Got to get it right.
That's right. We all had to sit in that seat one day. So you're doing fine, though. Devin, what's happening in the sports world today?
Well, I'm going to start with the big news, Doris. Chicago White Sox first baseman Jose Abreu was named American League MVP. This is fourth White Sox player in history to win MVP. And the last guy to win it was a guy by the name of Frank Thomas, you know, Hall of Famer. First time he won it was in 1993, the year I was born. Just saying. So, I mean,
just saying.
This is a good thing here. I'm very proud of Jose Abreu, very proud of the White Sox. And, you know, White Sox manager, former manager, I mean, Rick Renteria was runner-up for manager of the year of the American League. So, I mean, we got some good chances going on now.
Yeah, good for those White Sox. I'm excited about that.
Proud of them, too. And then for our golf fans out there, the Masters Tournament, we're going into round three today. Abraham Archer just took the lead, and round three will be happening this afternoon in Georgia. And we got not much going on for Illinois today, but our neighbors up in the north in Wisconsin, tonight we're going to have the Badgers. They're going to be taking on the Michigan Wolverines. And I don't think it matters what state you're from. Unless you're from Michigan, you do not like the Michigan Wolverines. And then tomorrow, we got some listeners up in Wisconsin, so I'm being nice. Uh-huh. Green Bay Packers are going to be taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars are 1-6, so the Packers, you got a very, very easy win over there. And lastly, our Chicago Bears are going to be facing off the Minnesota Vikings this Monday night at 7 p.m., so you can catch that game on ESPN. But if you're like me and you don't have cable, it's going to be on ABC, so you can check that out. And my mom's going to be pretty ticked because she can't watch The Bachelor that night.
Well, Mom, I know. People who watch The Bachelor, they are really, really into The Bachelor. I've watched it every now and then, but it's not, I don't know. It's a good show. It's definitely entertaining. Well, you didn't talk about tennis, so I'm going to tell you a little bit. There are three tournaments happening at the same time. There are the ATP Finals, the 2020 Finals, which is just the 15th and the 16th. And then you've got the ATP Finals in Tokyo. That's the 15th through the 21st. And then you've got the ATP Finals in London. And that's the 15th. And that's the 15th through the 21st. Now, for those of you who are into tennis like I am, we got two really good matches today. Team, and I don't know if you pay attention to Dominic Thiem. He is a really, really good player. It's hard to pronounce these guys' names. They come from all over the world. He is playing Stefanos Tsitsipas, and that's at 8 o'clock our time, 8 o'clock Central time. That's going to be a good match. And then Nadal is up. Nadal is up at 2 o'clock in men's doubles. He's playing Rublev. So Rafael Nadal and Audrey Rublev are going to be playing. They're going to have the center court at 2 p.m. today if you want to see some really good doubles. And that's going to be great. Now, something else I want to talk about. Hey, is Dave on the line from Hoffman States? I want to speak with Dave, please. Do we still have Dave? Oh, good. Hey, Dave, how you doing there?
Hey, good morning, Doris. Yeah.
Good morning.
I'm not in the dead zone. I'm not in the dead zone here. So,
that's right.
I was on that Lincoln Way, or the Lincoln Project, I should say, rather. They need to find a place for one or two of those people, too, because they had those phenomenal lads that, you know, especially that one about the veterans. When he called them suckers and losers and stuff like that, there was another listener first kind of prompted the idea in my mind when she mentioned about Steve Schmidt, and then I said that I agreed with her on that, and along with Steve Schmidt, that I always liked that former Lieutenant Governor Michael Steele. You know that he's.
You know what?
He's a
you
kind
bring
of a
up
Republican
a...
I could have voted for. You know.
Well, you know, you bring up a good point, actually, because last week I was mentioning that someone was talking about how the Lincoln Project, and I think it was actually, I believe it was Alexandria Ocasio, made a statement on her Twitter feed, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, my goodness, I hate to attribute it to her if it wasn't her, but I think it was her, who made a comment about the Lincoln Project, and it was a negative comment. She was saying that we should look at what the Lincoln Project did with all that money that they got and whether or not they distributed any of that money to local activists or Democratic activists for getting out the vote. And I was talking to my boyfriend about it, and one of the very first thing he mentioned was, well, I saw all those ads that the Lincoln Project put out, and they were certainly convincing for me, and now you're saying the same thing. And we all know that television ads are very expensive. So it may be that that's what they use the money for. Now, an audit is always good, but you like those commercials, huh?
Hey, Doris, on a different thing, on that Ben Carson, did he get the same shots that Trump got that with the remdesivir and stuff?
And, well, I don't... what do you think?
After ops... I doubt it. After Trump got his that time, you know, I still don't believe he had it, to tell you the truth. But
you know what? I don't either. I don't either. I don't.
For a 74-year-old man, he's bouncing around and that.
Yeah.
But like I teasing with Dick Kay about it after that happened. I said that he's tried that Remdesivir. I think that they also gave him a little bit of that tiger blood that Charlie Sheen had, because remember how nuts he got after?
Yeah.
And, I mean,
what? Wait a minute. What are you saying? They gave him, what do you call it?
Remember when Charlie Sheen years back, when he was flipping out, and he said that he had tiger blood and stuff like that.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Oh, you think that's what they gave Trump? Yeah, I know they were joking around.
I think they gave him a little bit of that too, because he's saying that he was invulnerable to the spouse and all of this, you know, junk and.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, but I don't know what's...
Get off on, I was reading about the Georgia with the, I was talking about the military and the writing and stuff, and they got, there was like about 18,000 military and their dependents and stuff like that had mailed in.
Wow.
So is that, and I'm serving, they've done it, the older military and that were more for Biden. But the younger ones were Trumps, a lot of Trump guys. So.
Surveys
on that earlier. But let me clear off so you can get to some others I want to put in some stuff. But I just figured I'd give you those couple of tidbits there of info.
Well, I thank you for that. I
with,
do.
Trump and the tiger blood.
Trump and the tiger blood. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate you. You hold it down out there in Hoffman States, okay? And don't be a stranger. We'll talk to you again real soon. Yeah, you know, I haven't heard anything about Ben Carson since we heard that he tested positive for coronavirus. Now, you know, he was at that gathering for Trump last week. But, yeah, we heard he tested positive, and then we haven't heard anything else. So Dave brings up a good point. Let's just hope that he's got access to at least the same kind of medical resources that your president miraculously received, if indeed he had coronavirus, which I too have to question, as you have to question everything about this president. This is the Doris Davenport Show. My name is Doris Davenport, and you know I just love Saturday mornings because I just want to talk to you about what is happening here in our United States of America and our city of Chicago and state of Illinois. Well, something else. You know what? Listen, I said at the top of the show that we're going to have time where we'll be talking about what we expect from Joe Biden. Joe Biden, remember, put the emphasis on Biden. It's not Joe Biden. It's Joe Biden. We really want you to pronounce those two syllables, Biden, Joe Biden. So Joe Biden is going to have to do what no other president has been able to do, including Barack Obama, and that is to focus on the Black community without fear. Focus on the Black community and the needs of this underserved community. He is already proving that he understands that you don't walk away from the one who brung you to the dance. And he knows that who brung him to the dance was the Black community, and primarily Black women. And how is he demonstrating that he understands that? Well, the first time that he has an opportunity to is the transition team. Now, this transition team is up for a lot of challenges because they're facing a president who does not want to give them access to any information. It is custom. It is tradition. When an incoming president is elected, there's a transition of power that has to take place. It upsets the stability and security of a nation our size when you don't make that transition. And here we have Trump, who fired the head of his military, his military advisor. He is really just throwing the country into limbo. And for what reason? Just so that he can have his last day in the sun. But President Joe Biden is moving ahead full steam. He's got a vast network of allies. He's got extensive government experience. His allies have extensive government experience. They've got relationships around the world. And they are spearheading a transition of power, and they've got to collaborate it around everything that Trump and his administration is doing. I mean, this is unprecedented. How can you be a president and obstruct a transition for the new administration? You lost Donald Trump, and with them blocking Biden from cooperating with the Senate in their briefings. Members of the Democratic transition team were told they've been under strict orders not to have any contact with government officials. Can you believe that? The Trump White House, they're even cutting off back channel conversations. People who are close to the situation, this is what they're saying. This is exactly what they're saying, that they have told the Biden team they do not want them talking to current government officials, and they don't want them using back channels to have communications. So what are they doing? One of the things they're doing is, you know, we have heard about the onslaught of so many people who retired or some kind of, you know, did things so that they could be terminated, and others just simply left. Well, the Biden administration is reaching out to all of them. All those people who left the White House, all those people who left the State Department, he is getting in touch with all of them. He wants to know what they know. He's getting all these calls from foreign leaders. You know, this is, you have a benefit when there's a smooth transition of power. Certain things fall into place, like there's a government line that's secure, that's given to the president-elect, so that when he has these conversations with these government officials, it's secure. And you know, hacking is at an all-time high. The last thing we need right now is people coming in and hacking the lines that President-elect Joe Biden is on. We don't want that to happen. And then sometimes there's a language interpreter that's provided by the State Department, so he doesn't have that either. But, you know, this is all President Trump's. I just don't understand him. He won't accept defeat. And why? What's the symbolic stand that he's taking? I mean, in the middle of a deadly pandemic. And frankly, folks, we're also in the middle of an economic downturn. He wants to trump the election. He was doing very good. He wants to trump the economy. He was doing really good with the economy before COVID. But he has not been able to turn things around, not in any stretch of the imagination. He is continuing to politicize the coronavirus. He's not doing anything he hasn't been able to do anything to help the economy. And all these stoke concerns among people because it's going to set Biden back. See, he doesn't want Biden to be able to come in and confront the crises that are facing us as a nation. We've been pretty quiet about the crisis that we're facing in our foreign affairs. Why? Because Trump didn't know what he was doing. And he fired everybody that would talk to the press and then made sure that anybody left were under strict orders not to talk to the press. So we only had an opportunity to know what he wants us to know. But apparently the problems are really severe. And we need a president who can come in, like Joe Biden, and fix things. We've got the biggest government around, probably in the history of the world. And it's the most complex organization. It is an organization, our government structure. So when you take over an organization like the United States government from one president to another, that's a big deal. That's a big job. Now, Biden tapped his chief of staff, who was somebody who was a leader on the Ebola outbreak. So he knows a lot about how to handle things for this pandemic. And we may find that if once they get a handle on the pandemic, that chief of staff may even change down the road. But he's the right man for the right day, for the right scene that the Biden administration is faced with. But I started this bit by talking about the transition team that Biden is putting together and what that looks like to Black America. Well, I have to say that I'm pretty pleased with Biden so far. It looks like he is putting together a transition team that is pretty diverse. And my understanding is that he's got about a quarter of his transition team being run by African Americans. And I'm very happy to see that, because when we look at what Joe Biden is going to have to do to say thank you to Black America, it's got to start at the beginning with Blacks in leadership. We've got policy leaders across the country that he says are going to play a pivotal role in his transition. And I, when you think about transition teams, frankly, they're usually filled with white men and women with a sprinkling of color here or there. So there's a 500 plus team. More than half are women, and Black men and women are leading more than one quarter of the teams. Now, that's significant, because the big three that Biden's going to be faced with as he takes office, the three things that the United States is facing that are so critically important, and we're going to be talking a lot about these things in the weeks to come, that's this pandemic, this historic pandemic, it's joblessness, and it's police brutality. Now, these are all crises that the Black community has definitely faced more than any other community. The pandemic, Black people are dying at rates that are just unheard of, while this man in the White House just continues. You know, it makes me mad, because what is he doing? He should be saying, okay, second to the first responders, let's take care of our seniors and our Black and brown communities that are contracting the virus quicker and deadlier than any other group. How can we get it to the most vulnerable of our populations first? But that's not what he's doing. Well, let's hope that this transition team that is one of the most diverse teams in the history of transition teams, let's hope they can get a handle on things so that we know what's going to be happening. But what they're doing is building a team that reflects America. They're building a team that reflects the voter population that put Joe Biden in office. And so often you look at Black men and Black women who are dedicated experts in their fields, no matter what the field is. They're dedicated experts, but they're not given the opportunity to stand shoulder to shoulder with white dedicated experts. Well, Joe Biden is going to show not only is that possible, it's necessary and it's right. So the makeup of the team that Biden's focused on rewarding Black voters for is going to be a good one. I can't wait to see what he comes out with. And he needs to. He owes us a debt of gratitude, and I know he's going to get it. And when you think about if it weren't for Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, what am I missing? Wisconsin, Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Those are all the states that pulled him over the line, that pulled Biden over the line. And it's Black people who helped him go over that line. It's just, check the record. I'm not just touting, this is not a racial conversation. Well, it is, but it's also not, right? Because we've got to help people who need help the most. And he's got, you remember Charmian Kinder. He helped lead and guide the transition for the Commerce Department. He was a White House press aide to Michelle Obama. And Patrice Sims is going to lead the transition effort for the Environmental Protection Agency. Now, I said Patrice, but it's a he. He's a prominent environmental attorney and legal scholar. He was a deputy assistant attorney general in the Obama Justice Department's Environmental and Natural Resources Division. They've got civil rights leaders, activists that have pledged to push Biden's administration. They want to create more policies on housing, the economy, criminal justice, co-founder, Black Lives Matter co-founder, Patrice Cullors. She's ready. She congratulated him and said she wants to have a meeting to discuss the commitments that must be made to Black people. Now, I support that. I'm going to be watching that very closely, because with all the support that Black people gave, this would have been a very different election. It would have been a very different outcome for this election had Black people not supported Biden. And in short, if you really want to know the truth about it, now everybody gets to tout their horn after an election, but I want to say something. Why does it always rub people the wrong way when Black people tout their horn? Well, Black folks won this election, and that's just the truth about it. And the truth is a stubborn fact. This is the Doris Davenport Show. My name is Doris Davenport. Thank you for joining me this morning. We're here with you every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. This is WCPT 820, the home of talk radio. This is where we have those progressive conversations. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back with you next week. And remember, be peaceful, wear a mask, wash your hands, and practice social distancing. We'll be back with you next week. This is Doris. Take care.